And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Down to Dome. I'm your host, Andrew Schlex. We are on like significant location here for this pod. If you are
yours is better than mine.
If you're live on YouTube, you can see that Michele and I are not in our usual spots. I am in Las Vegas for the NBA Summer League. Michele is on the beach with some barking dogs.
Yes.
But we have
I couldn't find a beach without dogs.
That's right. You went to the dog beach. Yeah. We have a lot to talk about.
No, this is too noisy.
Do what you need to do. I can mute you for a second if you want.
No. I don't think there is another spot that is more quiet. Let's see. Okay. Let's see if the dog hates me or not.
Oh, I love it. So, Michele's on vacation. He's at the beach. He showed it to me a little bit ago. It looks absolutely beautiful. I'm on the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's been quite an experience. It's been great. It's been so cool to be here and to see people in person, like my coworkers in person, and get to see and be a part of a press conference in person post-game, which was pretty cool. So the Thunder played the Pistons last night. It was kind of the headlining game of the night. And it was a little bit of, a little bit of a weird one. For a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. One, Josh Giddey only played 5 minutes before rolling his ankle. He had his ankle taped, so I could see it on the bench. And when he took his shoe and his sock off, it was already wrapped up. So I'm just curious, like, if he was going through something before. Grant Gibbs, who's the Summer League coach, said that they that he wasn't hurt but prior to it. But I have my doubts. I have my questions about that. So, but yeah, he's out. I would guess he won't play the rest of Summer League. It's only an 11-day trip. Maybe the injury's not bad at all, and he's like, I want to play on it. But my guess is that when players have even small injuries, they just kind of shut them down for the rest of Summer League. You know, this has happened to lots of guys. So that would be my prediction. I hope to be wrong because I want to see him play. Especially after the only thing that we saw was just this like turn the corner dunk, which was really fun. And you had Cade guarding him. Like the moment was like really cool. You go back and watch like the highlight of it. Like it's a really cool moment. I wish he could play more because he's going to handle a lot. Like he's even more than I thought he would.
Oh yeah.
Like he's going to be handling like all the time. And that was that's something that I asked the coach last night, Grant Gibbs, and he said that, yeah, he sees him as somebody that's going to handle the ball a lot.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense due to the skill set. By the way, this is inappropriate for the pod, but are you recording, Andrew? Because I'm not.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
On my end. Okay, yeah, cool.
Absolutely.
I was nervous. On Giddey, I think he projects to be a lead ball handler as of today. I don't see him as a spot-up guy. And the fact that the team is ready to roll with that, it's very, very good to me.
Yeah.
It is a bummer that he could only play a few minutes. He had a shot blocked. Maybe it has to do with the ankle. We don't know. If you think that there was some issue before, maybe that is part of the deal. But that turn and dunk to me showed A, being able to play pick and roll at a very high level, because he with his motion, he basically sent the defender away and just read how the pick was moving and what kind of defense they were playing. And he just knew in a split of a second what kind of action he had at his disposal, and he took it. So that shows high level recognition. And to me, that is one of the best skills that Giddey has. I'm sure that due to Summer League being so close to training camp and all this stuff, that they wouldn't risk him re-aggravating any kind of injury. And ankles are not mm-hmm. great. I mean, they can be nothing. Like in a week, you can be as good as new. But why risk it? Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it makes no sense. It sucks because, again, it would have been awesome to see him play.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been great. The other two rookies that played, I guess three rookies that played, Jeremiah Robinson Earl showed a lot. He played 27 minutes. He was 14-6, two steals, a block. He was great. 1-4 from three. He's launching those threes once he's open. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed. He played center for the team. This is a very small team. I think that he's probably really the only guy outside of Oscar De La Silva that profiles as a big man, like a legit big man. And I like him. I think that he's kind of your classic, like, high floor, low ceiling role player who can do a little bit of everything and guard multiple positions. And hopefully that corner three is something that really comes along, because if that does, like, I can for sure see a role for him in the NBA.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure that low ceiling is something that we can say as of today.
Sure.
There were two possessions that I want to discuss with you that I think they caught my eyes. I don't know if live were so impressive as on video. Mm-hmm. But to me, there was a moment where he threw a skip pass from the top of the key to a cutter. I think it was Wiggins, but maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe it was someone else. Mm-hmm. And that pass alone showed how he reads the game. Mm-hmm. The fact that he already knew that the pass was there for him before the ball arrived to him. So that to me showed a lot of anticipation, a lot of the fact that he is one pass ahead. And that is important. I mean, OKC already had guys like that playing the center position. And to me, the fact that OKC is already rolling with him at the center is kind of a news. I mean, they could have played like him and the Silva more together. And instead they didn't. They just played him and as a center, period. That was the move. And to me, that tells you something. And to me, the ceiling of a guy like that is depends on how you use him. And if you use him as a center, then maybe the ceiling is a bit higher. The second action is when he went from guarding Cade Cunningham to guard Luka Garza in a matter of 2 seconds. And he was good on both. Like, the way in which he guarded Garza, to me, showed a lot about his strength. Mm-hmm. Because, Garza beat him on two offensive rebounds and whatnot. But when he was going in with a post-up, like, he held his ground pretty firmly, I think.
Yeah.
And that is impressive because, I mean, Garza is a strong dude. Maybe not as strong as Embiid nor tall as, I don't know, other guys in the league. But he's a back-to-the-basket center.
Yeah.
And if he can hold his own against guys like that, then I'm really interested. And the fact that he was able also to switch on Cade and being more than competent, that tells me something as well.
Yeah. Now, he's really strong, and he's got quick feet. So, he's very interesting. He's a really interesting prospect, and I'm excited to see more of him. Like, he communicates on defense. Like, he's somebody that's clearly kind of a good backline defender. Like, knows what he's doing, and he's calling out reads, mm-hmm. and he's seems to be just kind of a natural leader on the court too. So, I like what I saw from him. I think we can talk about Teo now. Teo, he physically looks different than he did last season.
Yeah,
like, he's a lot stronger.
Wider, for sure.
Yes. He said that he was lifting twice a day in the off season. So, he's trying to get stronger. and he found ways to use his strength. You know, getting in the lane and finishing was something that he really struggled with last year, and that looked a little better. And also, like, his speed and pace and stuff like that looked better than it did last season. I don't know if you saw the same things or what you saw from him.
Well, I mean, I think that one of the best stuff to me was the moment when he was switched on Luka Garza, and in my mind I thought, Cook, let's go and do something. And he made a few dribbles,
yep,
and just shot the ball,
yep,
in his face.
Yep.
And I mean, that is what you want from a guy like him, because he has the tools to be a special player. He has, I think he can shoot the ball better than what his percentage said for last season. And I'm eager to see him play in more of an aggressive role. I really want him to be aggressive with the ball. And the fact that he was both very steady throughout the entire game, like playing, he had a few passes that were amazing.
Yeah.
One to JRE for a three-pointer. It was a bounce behind the back pass. It was perfectly timed.
Yep.
But also other, like, simple stuff. He was just commanding the floor. And that is something that I really think that is important for him, because he will probably start off the bench. Giddy will take a lot of minutes. But if he can play with Giddy and with Shea and be the aggressive secondary ball handler, then I think that he has a role. I mean, he's kind of the forgotten piece of this roster, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We have Dort in our minds.
Doubt,
we have Baisley, even if we are very negative on him. And Theo is, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can step from whatever to crucial piece, he's still, like, extremely young.
Very.
I mean, many draftees of this past draft are way older than what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if we are evaluating his first season a little bit in a not correct way.
Yeah.
Because, again, he showed stuff. He was not very steady. He needs continuity. But, I mean, what he showed yesterday was impressive. I mean, it's, mm-hmm, summer league, so nothing is really important. It's not the NBA. But he was able to do it against Killian Hayes,
mm-hmm,
which is a player of his caliber, and I think he was kind of better than Killian last night, to be honest with you.
He was without a doubt better than Killian Hayes. Hayes had some moments on defense, yeah, that were impressive, and Hayes has, like, some real size,
yeah,
that, you know, is very helpful to him in the game. But offensively, there was, like, no question, like, who is, like, the more steady and, like, ready to play offensive player. And some of that is, like, Theo played the most minutes on the Thunder last year, and Killian Hayes was out,
yeah,
for most of the season. So, like, I have to, like, give the benefit of the doubt to Killian in some ways, because, like, Theo has, like, way more NBA experience. And, like, playing against this level of competition is, like, really no big deal for Theo. I was very impressed with Theo and his, what he showed and his growth. And, like, he wasn't, I mean, he scored, like, 15 points, right? He was, like, 15 and 11. Like, the most impressive thing was 11 assists, 2 turnovers. Like, that's some real stuff. And then getting the, yeah, free throw line, too. You know, he's 6-7 from the free throw line. Like, that's really, yeah, nice for him. But, you know, like, he didn't, like,
he was taking, like, guys off the dribble with ease.
Yeah, he was. I think that there's a lot to be excited about with him. And, you know, can he be a top 8 rotation player? Certainly is on this team, like, duh. But can he be a top 8 rotation player on a, like, really, really good team? Was a question that I had that I didn't really have an answer for. And not that, yeah, I have the answer today, but I feel more confident that's there, rather than just, like, dismissing it entirely.
No, that's fair. And I think that, I mean, for second year guys, if you play in summer league and you play badly, that is usually a bad sign.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Ferguson being embarrassing.
Yes.
Almost.
Yes.
And he said, well, yeah, but he was put out of his comfort zone, blah, 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 blah. And it was bad, like, mm-hmm, really bad. To me, the fact that Malin was good is certainly not a bad news. I mean, he did what he's supposed to do. And you mentioned the fact that he had more experience than Killian and more NBA mileage than many of the guys that were on the court. But still, I mean, he was probably the best player on the court in terms of overall production. I mean, Cade had his moments, and Sadiq Bey probably is one of the other guys that was really, really good, but he was up there. And that is, again, Sadiq Bey, Killian Hayes, these are real NBA players.
Yeah.
And he was very comfortable taking, like, NBA guys from the dribble, and he was very effective. And the fact that he was able to get to the line at will, that is also a part of his game that wasn't really there last season. And I think it's part of what he should be in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a gunner, but the guy that can take you off the dribble and create. Because if you show to the defense that you're able to attack in pick and roll situation or off of like other actions, then your passing becomes even more of a weapon because you have the defense reacting in a different way. And so I'm really interested to see if that translates to the NBA because, yeah, these are good signs, but until you do it on a consistent basis on an NBA court, it's just a good performance over the summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. We're going to talk about Trey Mann and Aaron Wiggins and some other stuff right after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
And we're back after that quick break. Michele, what did you think of Trey Mann? I thought he was a little timid to start. But as the game went along, he started to really pick his spots and get to the places he wanted to be on the court, but he just couldn't get the shot to fall. And I thought he got to the floater that he wanted like quite often toward the end of the game. And I was quite impressed with just the ability to get there. And he had like some like shots that had like a real chance to go in. Like these weren't like way off or anything. But, you know, that's kind of the give and take with the floater, though. Like you can get to it, but like that's a super hard shot. Like you have to be very, very accurate with it. But overall, I thought he looked fine in his first summer league game.
Yeah, to me, over summer league, it's not really a matter of how much you score. I remember there were guys that were ready to say, well, Trae Young is a bust because he's struggling so much. Yeah, we knew at 6'1", he would struggle a lot to score in the NBA. Yeah, he's, look. And then after, I don't know, 4 regular season games, no, we were dead wrong. So it's not that, it's not that missing shots at the summer league level means anything. Mm-hmm. To me, there were one bad thing and one very positive thing, and both has to do with his dribble. His dribble is loose, and that is something that I don't particularly like, and it was an issue already at Florida.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that is something that he can fix, because, I mean, you mentioned before that Killian was special on defense, and part of it was hounding Trey Mann, and I think he stole the ball once or twice. And so that, to me, is an issue. But there was a moment in the game where he went to pull up three, and he created so much space with just one dribble. Mm-hmm. And also he had another possession where it was against Cade. And he started from, I think, the right corner. And he had two moves, two consecutive moves, and Cade was completely caught off guard. And he missed the layup. But he was so good creating space that I wonder if that is something that we will see and that will translate to the league at a high level. Because the shooting, I mean, I would be really, really caught off guard if he shots below 35% from three.
Yeah.
Because he's a very, very good shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he takes like bad ones, then maybe he could be below that. But eventually, he will be around 40% from three. I mm-hmm. just believe that. Because the shot is too good. And so I think that defensively, he was like kind of okay. He wasn't really bad, nor really good. Mm-hmm. And that is what you expect. But the live dribble stuff are both concerning and encouraging, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, he shows ability to get to his spots even with a loose dribble. And that's something that you can work on. That's something that the Thunder have had to work on with, like, Dort. You know, Dort's handle isn't, like, perfect even today, but he's gotten so much better, like, from year one to year two, like, so much better. Even with SGA. Like, SGA has had to work on that a lot to be, like, a primary guy. Yeah. And he's gotten a lot better. Now, I'm not saying that, of course, because Trey Mann is with the Thunder, he's going to get so much better. Like, I don't know if he will. But I just know that
he needs to put in the work.
Yeah, he has to put in the work.
But there is an history.
Yeah, it can happen. Like that. This is
development. Yes.
Yeah, this is not a like hopeless situation where it's like, oh my gosh, he's not going to make it because of his size, or he's not going to make it because of like something that you can't overcome. Like this to me is like just like tightening up your handle. Like it can take some time, but it's something that he just needs reps. Like he needs more NBA reps. Like it maybe. A good reason to throw him in the G League. Like, go let him play 35 minutes in the G League and, like, work on his handle and, like, be the primary guy in the G League against better competition than you played in at Florida. So, to me, there's lots
and
of...
And get used to the NBA line.
Yeah, and play in the system.
In the meantime, which is something... Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, to be continued with Trey Mann. But there's some stuff to like if you're wanting to be optimistic.
Yes.
Aaron Wiggins.
Yeah, there's also very little to be pessimistic about. Like,
sure.
The missing shots, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the two turnovers from live dribble situation to me that you can say, well, if he's a lead ball handler, then what I'm watching. Yeah. But again, it's more the fact that he was able to get 14 credible shots off.
Sure. Yeah,
that is something that to me is more positive than negative for sure. And the one that he made, like Doris Burke was pretty excited about that layup.
Oh, was she?
When he went to his yeah. They were both excited about that move.
Oh, that's awesome! That's so cool. Aaron Wiggins was actually like quite impressive yesterday. 13 points, 5 boards, 1 assist, 3 steals, 4 turnovers. But he was, to me, like showed his athleticism. He showed his aggressiveness and showcased like a little bit of shot making here and there. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to play a whole lot for the Thunder this year, but it seems to be like a worthwhile project as a two-way player.
Yeah, and I really liked the way in which he got to his shots. I mean, there was one moment, the moment when he had that motion, that move against probably Garza.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't remember.
Everyone was roasting Garza.
And that was a very good. Yeah, it's always Garza in my mind. I don't know how people can say that he will not be a bad defender in the NBA. He cannot move. But anyway, I hope the best for him. But yeah. I'm not sure. I like the fact that he's so smooth with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just natural. And he's not a great athlete, you can tell. And that's probably why he was not the first round pick.
Yeah.
But the shot looks very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he projects as a 3-level scorer,
mm-hmm.
which is something that for a two-way, it's something. I don't know what are the plans for a guy like Wiggins, because to me, he looks more of a rotation player than a G League one. I mean, Trey Mann to me makes sense for the G League because he can take 20 shots there, whereas he cannot at the NBA level. To me, JRE and Wiggins are probably more suited to play right away and to be maybe given 10 minutes a night. And I think that Wiggins can be a floor spacer and he can attack off a closeout and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I really think that there is something there, and I wouldn't be surprised if you can if you see him playing more with the team than with the G League.
Yeah. I mean, the Thunder lack...
Especially because they don't have wings.
I was going to say
they don't
that.
Have too many wings. So yeah.
They lack like bench wing depth from like the three position, and that's something that he can offer. So, I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know what you think about him versus Josh Hall, but like I saw a lot more out of Wiggins than I have Josh Hall in like the last year. So
I don't know. I mean, Hall projects to be a slasher with athletic potential. But even yesterday, I mean, when second year players don't showcase in the G League, to me in the summer league, to me that is a bell that rings in my mind. And yeah. I don't know. I just don't know how he succeeds in the NBA without a shot. And he clearly doesn't trust it.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, that's why I think that Wiggins like, has a real shot to be. I don't know what they do with Josh Hall, like to be honest. Like, I don't know where they go with him or with Charlie Brown. Like, I don't.
Brown had two or three possessions defensively where, wow, and then offensively,
that's why I just like they already have Wiggins. He's gonna be a two-way player, but just like keep and play Wiggins and develop some of these other guys. Like even like Horde shows like a lot more than those guys, and Horde is more of a big guy than he is like a three, but
yeah he's more of a 4.5 with the size of a 3.5.
Yes yeah.
Jerry has the size to be a full five to me. At 6'9", if you are athletic enough and strong enough, you can be a five.
That's the strength stuff for me. Like he's strong enough to play against anybody. You know, he'll battle. Like Embiid is going to destroy him, but Embiid destroys everybody. But
who cares? like for real. I mean, Jokic and Embiid will feast on him.
Yeah.
And?
Yeah, it's great.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
Let him learn. Yeah. Let him like try to be physical against them.
Yeah.
No. Will they go for 45 straight possessions, post-up possession to destroy JRE? Good. That's a good way to destroy a basketball team. So. Yep. I'm completely fine. I mean, to me, it's more important than a guy like that plays because of his versatility. I mean, if they, what they end up doing is posting up Jokic 25 times, then for OKC is a win because he will not make more than 75%, 65% of them, which is a very good offense. But I mean, it's also putting the rest of the team out of rhythm. And so to me, like, The highest number of post-ups that a player can really take in the modern NBA is maybe 10 in a game.
Sure.
Like, does he score, 13 points, 14 points?
Yeah.
Who cares? It's the Orford three-pointer. Yeah. Nobody should, nor the JRE three-pointer. He will never take 9 or 10. If he takes 4... Let him be. Like, to me, that is the rule. That should be the rule. Like, Shaquille O'Neal, if you had Shaquille, that would have been 35 post-ups.
Yeah.
Against a guy like Jerry. Mm-hmm. And probably 27 baskets. That is 54 points.
Jerry plays the three in, like, that era of basketball, though.
No, but suppose that there is a player in the future that will be as good as Shaq.
Yeah,
which is extremely unlikely, and that he's able to stay on the court for the defensive side. Then a guy like Shaq could post you up 25 to 30 times.
Yeah,
like,
and it'd be worth it. Yeah,
that would be the plan. And that is dangerous. That is dangerous. But 10 post-ups? Who cares?
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that. What'd you think of Cade?
Bored. He looked bored.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I was listening to the Athletic NBA show, and I think that the guys were saying that he looked bored, and I think he was. The shot is real. He's definitely
without a
real.
Doubt. Yeah.
And I still hold the doubt that I had before, which is he going to beat his man off the dribble? And to me, that game didn't provide any news on that front.
Yeah.
And to me, that is something that will define Cade's career to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to be able to create off the dribble. And in order to do that, you need to be able to beat your man.
Yeah.
And again, the talent, I mean, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't take him first overall, because the talent is there. But I still wonder to what degree he will be able to be a super duper scorer if that doesn't come along in the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, he's struggled like getting into the teeth of the defense and then finding ways to like score and like finding his spot when he got down there. You know, the Thunder really collapsed on him and like forced him to either pass it or take a bad shot. And that happened a few times. Yeah. But he deferred a ton yesterday. I think that he was trying to, I don't know, is he like trying to show that he can, you know, be a leader by letting other guys take shots and like by, you know, letting Killian Hayes like handle a lot? Like, I don't know, but he, you know, I don't think I saw anything that like deterred me from thinking that he's going to be a good player.
I don't know.
But
no, it's just a question that I have, and it's still there because I don't think that yesterday was an answer to that particular question.
Right.
And like, if you have a JRE on you and you cannot get to the basket, that to me says something. Maybe that is JRE is a great defender, or that Cade as a driver, as a driving to the basket force, is not a foregone conclusion to me.
Yeah.
That he will be.
Yeah. He needs some work. You know, he's still a very young player.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's got the shooting.
Today thing.
It is an absolutely a today thing.
In 2 years, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. He could be a monster in 2 years.
I mean, Shea was not this guy.
Oh, not
like
even
Shea,
close.
Like Shea from year one to year two to year three. He was in college, a guy that could take anyone off the dribble. Then he wasn't in the first year. Then he kind of was in the second and in the third. Wow, he's probably the best in the league at doing that. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of room for improvement. That is, I just want to say that this is something to me that has to be. We have to keep that in mind as a data point that we look forward in Cade's game, because if he puts that into his repertoire and he's as good as Shea or even something below that, then he is for sure, to me, a top 10 player of his generation, maybe even more.
Mm-hmm. You have a chance to watch any of the other top guys?
No. No, yeah. Family duty.
Yeah.
So
good for you.
But I heard that you were pretty excited about Scotty.
Barnes was really good. Barnes was probably like the most impressive guy of the day was Jalen Green. And then I put Barnes second. He was amazing. It took him a minute to get it going. Like, he airballed his first three-pointer, and I was sitting right near our Raptors beat writers, and I, you know, walked up to him and I was like, "Hey guys, like, how's it feel to cover a bus?" You know, just, you know, giving it to him a little bit. But after that, he like settled in. And then you started to see like all the defensive stuff that everybody talked about, and the stuff that you saw at Florida State, where he's like diving on the floor, stealing the ball, getting on the break, like finishing like way above the rim. And they just basically put him in the middle of the floor as the defender. Like you talked about, like we talked about on Thunder After Dark about him like being the center. Like, he's basically their center on defense. Yeah. And then offensively,
the sorting hat was right then.
Yes, I agree. It was so apparent. Like, his size is certainly like one of his best skills that he has. And I guess size is not really a skill, but like it was so impressive, just his sheer size and the way he moved. And then like the shot wasn't horrible. He didn't look like a no-level scorer. Like, he hit a mid-range jumper with a hand in his face. He hit a three. You know, he drove to the basket. Like, he was putting up points and, you know, was given lots of opportunities to do so. And he was super impressive. Like, I can see why he was taken fourth overall. Like, no question, I can see it. And then Jalen Green, he was taking the dumbest shots, man. Just some of the dumbest, like, yeah, step back twos, like hand in his face, and every like just swish, and like the whole arena's just like, whoa. Like, it was just that over and over and over again with the Rockets. And then Şengün, who is like will be tied to the Thunder for all of eternity, had a nice showing too. Like, he played well. He rebounded the ball really well. He was, you know, defended the rim, you know, not great, but, you know, he had a couple highlight blocks and was able to score some around the basket. So he kind of did everything we thought he could do. And, you know, he still struggles with defensive rotations, and, you know, there's going to be some issues there. I'm interested to see, like, him match up with a guy like JRE. Like, somebody that's like really strong, really smart. Mm-hmm. It's going to push him out of the way.
Do they play Houston?
Let me look at the schedule. Because, like, I mean, he's playing against Evan Mobley, and like everybody could push Evan wherever they wanted to, you know, including Şengün, who's.
Well, that was to be expected, I think.
Yeah. And not to say that like Evan was bad. I thought Mobley showed like some real flashes that were like, okay, like he is special. Like, there's a lot of like really special things about him. And, you know, I think if you're a Cavs fan, you should be really excited. And I think that he can play the four and probably even some three if it came down to it.
Wow.
So
do you think that they had a, they made a good decision with Allen?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, part of it's like you want to keep the asset alive, you know, to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they gave up that much for him, but, you know, if it came down to it, they could probably trade him.
Yeah.
I don't know. The way that Cavs team is built,
it's not a terrible contract to move. Like, it's a $20 million for a very good center. So,
yeah, as long as he like stays at the level he's been or gets better, then it's not bad. Just like with Stevens' contract. Like, Stevens' contract only became bad because he started struggling with injuries and kind of regressed as a player. Some, you know, if Steven kept progressing, it would be like a great deal for him. You know, but it's just that's just the way that goes. But yeah, I thought Mobley showed some stuff. And showed some stuff off the dribble. I don't know. I wouldn't be deterred by any of the top four guys at all so far. Oh, and today, Mikaela, you get to go watch our guy Jalen Suggs in person, which I'm just super jacked about. Like, I cannot wait to watch him in the Magic play later today.
I just hope he has an incredible performance. I'm sure he will be an NBA player, a very good NBA player. So
yeah, yeah.
Me no too. Matter what happens today, I will believe that until proven wrong.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Okay, Mikaela, I gotta let you go because you gotta go back to your family, and I don't know if your iPad
wants
to die or not.
Dinner waits, but
so,
all
right.
I mean, enjoy summer league. I mean, I was very surprised. To me, the most surprising thing is that I texted you probably at 8 a.m. your time.
Mm-hmm.
And you were awake. This is Vegas, man.
I just can't. Like, even this morning, like, I was out really late last night. and I wake up at 7. And I'm just like,
wow,
I'm awake. You know, I've been awake. I'm like trying to like get some work done, you know, calling home, talking to my wife, you know. It's like I'm just awake, like total dad life, you know, go to sleep at 2 a.m., up at 7. Like, I'm here by myself. Like, I have no like agenda this morning at all. It's just like, okay, I'm awake now. So, oh shoot. All right, Michele, we'll let you go. Enjoy the beach.
I will.
Thanks everybody for joining in on the stream. I'm gonna answer some questions later on. I don't know if I'll do that as a pod or just on Twitter. Or maybe on like Spaces or something. So look for that. Hope you guys are doing great. And we will talk to you guys again on Wednesday.
Was it terrible?
No.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.